everywhere, man. I cross the valleys fair, man. I breathe the mountain air, man.
Hi, welcome back to Barnstorming. I believe this is episode 8. Yes, I think so.
7.
8.
No, this is
we
episode
checked.
8. Yeah, we checked.
It is 8. Yeah, yeah, I wasn't there for one.
Okay. Yeah, so, okay, all right. Yeah, 8. Episode 8. My name is Taylor. I'm sort of a political operative type, and I'm one of the co-hosts here.
And I think it's important, you know, you bring a young person's perspective.
Yes. More of a millennial, but... The only millennial of the co-hosts.
I've been shying away from that because I feel, right, don't millennials actually don't like being called millennials?
I enjoy being called okay. millennial.
I mean, all generational labels are, like, overgeneralizations. Anyway, this is Jordy. I'm a community activist, a freelance scholar. I put freelance anarchist on my son's college application. He liked that a lot. That was funny.
Great.
I try and be, you know, the person bringing some ideas to the podcast. And our third co-host...
Hi, this is Chip.
And can I just say that he poured whiskey into an apple juice bottle, which is one of the sickest things I've ever seen, because some poor little kid's going to come along and get a terrible surprise.
It's actually a nice combination there. It's got the big mouth, which is a lot like me. And you guys know who I am, so let's go ahead and get into it. We've got a special guest.
Well, yeah. It is important that you're a veteran of several campaigns.
Veteran of several campaigns, yeah. Loudmouth. And opinionated,
he agitates
passionate.
People all the time.
I'm a big agitator, mm-hmm. I just think we, you know, change comes through tension, and we are in a tense moment, and,
yep.
and it's time for some change.
So we're also here joined by Genevieve Williams, and she is the former. She ran for Congress on the Democratic ticket in the Missouri's 7th.
That's the fighting 7th.
The fighting 7th in Southwest Missouri. She ran in the Democratic
Party. Can we just get a clarification, Genevieve? Is it Missouri or Missouri?
Well, you know, it depends on which, who you ask and kind of where they're from. But for me, I am Missourian.
Missourian.
But I don't get too offended.
Okay.
Okay.
People do. All right.
So you ran in 2014 as a Democrat. Unfortunately, in a nail-biter of a primary, you lost. And then you came back in 2016 and made it to the general election, and you were up against...
You beat out, like, 3 people in the Democratic primary, is that right?
3 people total, so 2 others.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
And then, who's the name of your general election candidate, the Republican?
Billy Long.
Okay.
Is he, like, he seems like he could go in for, I don't know if you would know the Dukes of Hazzard, this show I grew up with, but he seems like he could go in for, a Boss Hog impersonator contest. Is that
you
a
know,
thing?
I get that a lot. That is kind of like something that's gone viral.
Yeah,
and, really.
We saw one picture of him, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's Boss Hogg."
I stay away from it, but I can't say that I don't find them humorous sometimes.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like a caricature of himself, but I
think we all do down here. I think that's who we are. We're very loud, kind of,
That's great.
Like, very authentic. Like, this is who I am.
That is a great insight. I love that.
So can you and now you're actually the vice chair of the Missouri Democratic Party, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, excellent.
That is awesome.
And you were just you're a DNC member as well. Although I guess is every vice chair a DNC member?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Well, that, you know, that's like just awesome. Like I would love to hear a little bit of your story cuz what did I hear recently? Like a diplomat always knows a man's birthday and always forgets a woman's. Like it was something that was cute but kind of sexist.
Yeah, it's a little sexist. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. Why are you bringing that here, Jordy?
Because Genevieve's like 28, 29, something like that.
Yeah, I am actually turning 30 here in like 15 days or so. So yeah,
wow.
Definitely a millennial. And
hell yeah.
So did you, you know, can you give us the, like, 30-second, like, did you love politics as a kid, or did something fire you up, or your dad was...
George W. Bush.
Uh-huh.
I was seeing the election kind of... I came from a very political, like, politically involved family. I'd had family members run for office, but we were kind of mixed politically. Like, we had Democrats, Republicans, and a couple of libertarians, and, you know, a couple of people that just maybe weren't that interested in it, but overall really civically engaged kind of background and everything. So when I was watching the election kind of unfold, I was really shocked in that. And this is like such a like 13-year-old like thought process. But I was thinking, like, this is not what I was taught in school, like, of how our elections go and what democracy really means. And, you know, then as I was watching the administration, you know, at that time, that seemed like heinous. You know, I thought, man, this guy is out of control.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And this administration is like a runaway train, you know, in the wrong direction. I mean, there's never a good kind of runaway train, but that really compounded my discomfort, I guess. And so kind of never looked back and was mostly a general election volunteer. And then when I got older, I got more involved in like party politics locally, but had never really gotten past like my county committee level, actually, when I ran for U.S. Congress. So that had a lot to do with, you know, kind of where I am now, you know, in the journey, mm-hmm. I guess.
I'm curious, why did you first decide to run for Congress?
Well, I can tell you, it kind of was inspired by Hunter S. Thompson's run for sheriff of Aspen initially.
Oh, yeah.
And
you gotta love Hunter
I know
Thompson.
At first I was really uncomfortable admitting that, and now I'm sort of realizing that it's totally perfect origin story for where I am now, even. I was really kind of tired of what I saw as a lot of people not really challenging the Republicans in this area. And then when we did have candidates, and I'm not calling anyone out, it's very, this very objective and agreed upon by most folks in the community, we were running really moderate Democrats to the point where they could have easily been transferred over to the Republican ticket and been considered a moderate Republican. And that's okay. Not everyone fits in, you know, exactly, you know, where we might like them to, and they're welcome to run. But I was really tired of not having really anyone to get excited and vote for. The other thing is, in this part of the country, and this is true in many other parts of the country, but less so recently because a lot of work that we've done, I would go to the primary election and just sit in the booth, and I would have one or two primaries to vote in. And it would be, like, if it was like, obviously presidentials are different, but, you know, I might have, like, my Senate candidate and maybe the, you know, I'd have the congressional candidate. And then there would be nobody down ticket, down all the way to, you know, commissioner and county commissioner. So was pretty tired of that. And I was a young person, worked for myself, and had the kind of benefit of not being super established, so I didn't have the fear of losing, mm-hmm. you know, some well-established reputation or some great job. And because a lot of the, you know, a lot of people here are very nervous. They don't want to kind of, we kind of have a joke that you have to come out, you know, as and it's very stressful.
Uh-huh.
And I was just kind of seeing that happening and thinking like someone should do something about this. And then, you know, when you have that moment, you realize you're someone. And I looked at the you know, race really seriously, and I thought, you know, is this an irresponsible move? I'm just so young and, you know, honestly, fairly inexperienced at that time. I was 24 the first time, 26 the second time. I mean, 26, I'm sorry, 26 the first time, 28 the second time. My point is, we were losing by, like, by 30 points. So it was like, really, what... kind of what do we have to lose, you know?
Yeah.
We can't really get much worse than this.
We might as well just talk about what we want to, you know?
Chip, yeah, exactly.
Chip, you've got a question?
So, you know, it's kind of the freedom of nothing left to lose. So I did that, ran a extremely progressive, very unabashedly liberal, left-leaning campaign, and I'm alive today to tell you the tale. So that in and of itself is sort of a triumph. You know, in that it showed a lot of people that we don't have to be so, afraid.
Hey, Genevieve, this is Chip. I'm Facebook stalking you. I just friended you, so please accept my friend request. But I see that you have a picture.
At your own risk.
I see that you have a picture of yourself with Keith Ellison. And I'm hoping to get a comment from you about what just happened at the national level with the DNC and what your feelings are with this old guard, new guard kind of a thing, the fight that's going in the party right now, and what's going on with the party.
Oh, well, you know, the thing is, there is definitely some discord. And there are
wait a minute.
We're definitely pissing each other off. Hold on, Genevieve.
I don't know what you're talking about. You need to give us some context.
Well, do you want to give a little background on what happened with the votes recently with Perez? And Keith is, yeah. Representative Ellison, I think, survived, but they got rid of, well, if you want to, can you give us a brief background on what you know about the story?
Well, there were some changes, absolutely. And it has ruffled some feathers in what I guess you might call the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, which I think in and of itself is kind of a weird branding, because there are definitely people that are progressive that aren't maybe included in that group. But it's caused some issues, and there was some discord, and definitely some tough conversations were had. But this is some really important work that we are doing, and we're kind of finding the soul of the Democratic Party. And when you do something that intense and you're having this sort of existential moment, like this moment of kind of crisis, you know, it's not that we've lost our soul, but obviously, I don't mean to be crude, but we just got our asses handed to us, and it's affected the entire American people. So, like, we have some serious, like, explaining to do right now as far as, you know, we're talking to each other, we're having really tough conversations.
So,
internally, it's fairly obvious that we're just hammering things out. But I think a lot of times externally, like from the outside looking in, it's like, man, these people are just tearing each other apart.
Well, you know, it looks like the part, frankly, it's very disappointing to me, because it looks like the party's going the wrong way. Marcel Groen is one of the guys that was recently bumped up, and he's actually from Pennsylvania. He's our state chair. And he is, he's a bad dude, to be quite frank.
Well, that's Chip's opinion about
he's
it.
He's a bad dude. And, well, what's your opinion? Do you know Marcel?
I don't have an opinion. I don't know enough about him.
Genevieve, have you met Marcel?
No, and I definitely wouldn't have the intimate knowledge that you would have.
Well, okay, when I say bad dude, I just mean we get a lot of reports back from the state committee meetings. The Pennsylvania Democratic Party, frankly, is in the shambles. They had a great state chair, they bumped him out. Jim Byrne was remarkable. And then they bumped him out for this guy who's actually bringing the party down a little bit. I'll be honest. He's old school. He's old guard. We need fresh blood. The progressives need a stronger voice. And these latest votes are really concerning to me.
I still didn't. What are these votes you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Can
today?
Can you clarify? So at the DNC, people like aren't on the DNC anymore that were voted out.
Today?
No, this past weekend there was a convention. So, Genevieve, were people kicked off the DNC, or were they just their positions downgraded?
Well, the only way that anyone could be, like, what you're kind of referencing, those are appointments that are made by the chair. They're not elected. The people that we're discussing right now were not directly elected by anyone to begin with. Hmm. And so these appointments are made at the discretion of the chair. And he's definitely removed some people and added some people that have caused, you know, quite a lot of conversation. And I personally have some concerns about the level of kind of corporate involvement.
It was
kind of increasing, you know, instead of we want it to wane, you know, we're trying to go the other direction.
It seems like it's almost a mini purge of progressives, right? It seems like a mini purge,
you know,
of the progressive voices.
The thing that I noticed when I remember, like, Taylor and I made really quick discussion about what we were going to be talking about today, so I'd be sure to be kind of prepared. And when I heard that, like, progressive purge, I was thinking, like, I can't say that I was completely happy with it. I did not see it as like a purge like that.
Yeah.
Or you know, of a like, it was not this like biblical, you know, proportions kind of thing. But when I looked through the information, because I was like doing a Google News search trying to see like, where is this coming from, you know, one of the things that I was stumbling upon over and over and over was that there are several different publications out there, The Observer being one of them. And I wrote something down. It was hilarious. And The Observer is owned by Jared Kushner.
Right.
If you didn't know that. And it's so the headline was DNC chair Tom Perez gives up on unity, rewards loyalists. Like, I was thinking about it to myself and I thought, you know, this could almost read like DNC chair Tom Perez personally kills the pets of all Bernie Sanders supporters.
Right.
Like, some of this stuff is ridiculous. Like, this is politics. See, and a lot of the people in the progressive movement are new to politics, and like, understandably so. They hadn't really had a reason to feel like they should be involved before. I get that. I get that. But it's like, some of this stuff is just, this is what happens every time. I've been through so many turnovers of chairs, and these things change. You know, am I happy about it completely? No. Do I see it as this guy is trying, like, exercising some sort of vendetta and trying to take down the movement? No.
Yeah. See, that's what I was curious about, because you read it in these online publications, and it sounds like, you know, like, we should be digging mass graves, but, you know, they spin things, so, you know, they want to create a story. So it's kind of...
Well, and there is a story there. I mean, there's a story there, but that story is a lot more interesting than, you know... Like, some of the conversations that I had this past week with seasoned members of the Democratic Party that I'm sure a lot of folks in their areas are calling them, like, establishment, and they're all these things, that they're bringing, like, this... Yes, it's not perfect. Yes, they bug me. They bug the heck out of me sometimes. But I am so excited of this like, new energy, this new movement. And it's not new anymore, you know. But the point is, we had been kind of struggling within the party for a really long time, in that we now have, like, the progressive movement has got these great skills to go in and hold people accountable and just basically make their life like hell. You know, so in kind of turning that, and like some of the indivisible groups and some of the other like action based groups, the trouble that we used to be giving each other, which is still happens, but we're now kind of, I'm seeing it like focused on the GOP, and it is a thing of beauty. So even, but a lot of that stuff is, we're wounded, like both sides of this, some of this stuff got so heinous, and the kind of the, you know, the fate of American democracy was like hanging in the balance. And of course people are pissed off. People are still upset, you know, at the guy that did this thing at convention, and oh my gosh. But we're also seeing a huge like movement of kind of moving forward and going like, okay, let's try to, and I don't mean to paint some beautiful sunshine and rainbows picture, but this is a family. Like, sometimes somebody gets up and storms out at Thanksgiving, but that doesn't mean you're not going to,
Yeah, I understand that you're trying to downplay it, but it's still very symbolic. And right now, the Democratic Party should be embracing progressives and embracing the movement to push this party forward. This is actually, I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it is, but it's a big deal.
Yeah. It is. It's not something that should be ignored or said, oh, no, we're doing great, you know. But
I'm curious.
The truth is somewhere kind of in between the, you know, the way it's kind of being overplayed and, like you're saying, totally ignoring it is not an appropriate response either.
Yeah. Genevieve, what is the Democratic National Committee doing to incorporate, you know, you mentioned earlier, like these indivisible groups, these other grassroots organizations around the country that are actively fighting the Trump agenda? What is the DNC doing to incorporate them into the party?
Nothing.
Chip, just let her answer.
No, I want to hear what Chip has to say.
No, Chip is just doing his agitation
thing. we called you to talk about this.
Okay. Well, you know, I can definitely, the one thing I can do is talk. But I would say, like, I have a couple of different layers to this. In my personal experience, like in Missouri, and then more specifically Southwest Missouri, we really work hand in hand with Indivisible. And there are times where, like, maybe the local Democratic infrastructure, you know, can't move quite fast enough because it's a big ship and hard to turn quickly. And, you know, Indivisible can get things out immediately. And I'm seeing that happen all of the time. Like, we just had last week, Representative Long, and my representative, is notorious for never having held a town hall since he was elected in 2010. Not once. If you were winning by, you know, 30 points, you probably wouldn't, I mean...
We're familiar.
But, so we just did an event where we held a town hall where he wasn't, you know, and we had our 7th Congressional District Chair for the Democratic Party and our local Indivisible leads up in the front doing a town hall with, you know, pretty good attendance, and then submitting the entire, like, all the questions and then video of the event to Representative Long and did a great job getting local media out. So there's things like that that I'm just seeing it, and I'm just like, this is what we've all been wishing for, you know, to have these different kind of moving parts that are, you know, where somebody, and the thing is too, political work exhausts you, and so you have to have a lot of leaders in order to make sure that we're not, yeah, you know, like there might be a week absolutely where I can't hardly bring myself to deal with it, and it's really important to have a lot of voices, a lot of people, a lot of energy. So, and I see it on like a national level, the stuff that like some of this like really irresponsible legislation that the Trump Congress is kind of toying around with, they're having a really hard time getting it passed. And it's not because the Democrats have a majority and we're able to block it, or that we're keeping it in committee, or, you know, not letting it into committee. It's because people are calling and emailing and showing up and making themselves heard, and that's indivisible. Like, that's not the Democratic Party. That's not, like, we do that. That's part of what we do. But, like, we're here to try to win elections, to try to represent you. And like, so our people in Congress, they're blocking this legislation. But we were never really great at having that mechanism, that immediate response. And so it's a thing of beauty to see people picking up that slack.
Let me follow up. So as a rural Democrat, how is the county committee structure? Are they good? Are they effective? Are you working with outside groups like Indivisible mostly? Around here, we have really good and strong county committees, but I'll be honest, the outside groups are popping up because the county committees around here aren't, you know, it's just not as effective as I think it could be. And I'm just wondering if you have an opinion on what it's like to work with outside groups versus within the Democratic Party itself.
Oh, yeah, I think there are definitely areas, just to be absolutely frank, there are places where we have really dysfunctional county committees. And there are other places where we have county committees that are just kicking ass all day long.
I think Chip was being generous when he said we had a functioning committees around here. I'd say it's more like what you just said. Some are okay, some are on life support, and some are 6 feet under. But anyway, go ahead.
I think it's telling, Genevieve, that these outside groups are popping up because, in my opinion, the county committee structure is failing.
Yeah, it's falling short. Like, there wouldn't be space or need for these groups to emerge
if
we were already performing that function. Like, absolutely.
I mean, I think that there's often a healthy, if I were a better historian, there's a healthy symbiosis between, you know, parties on either side, Republican or Democrat, is the institutional, like, in a way, they're the institutionalization of what was an important trend 8, 10, 20 years ago. So
absolutely,
that will always be the case. And if everybody could understand that, maybe that goes to what you were saying earlier, we would be better off, that there are roles to play. I mean, you know, I always would get, and I'll, you know, we haven't talked about this, like, I was a strong Sanders supporter because I felt like Hillary Clinton had spent a lot of time, kind of throwing progressives under the bus. And there wasn't that kind of trust-based, like, hey, right, you have a role. I know you have a role. I need to go a different direction. But anyway, I'm taking up too much time. Go back to what you were saying about the county committees.
I was thinking definitely about what you were saying also. I think, like I said, there are places where the county committee is doing great, sweetie. Like, it's, you know, like, for what it is, we're doing okay. Like, I'm the county chair for Newton County.
Oh.
I love my little rural, like, 32,000 people in the whole county. And we are, I can say, I've been chair there since 2014. And there is.
Do you rule with an iron fist?
What?
Do you rule with an iron fist?
Absolutely.
You got it, man.
No, I entertain the will of the body. I know that's shocking, but no.
How many people are on the committee?
How many are active?
Yeah, those are two very important different questions.
All of us are on our county committee, and it should have 64.
40,000 or something like that.
And it's supposed to have 64 people on the committee. That's not a committee. That's a small business.
Yeah.
That's like a legislation.
Yeah, 64. Body. How many are supposed to be on your committee?
We have like 10 or 12 people that are involved.
Yeah.
I think we are 31, and we have 21. And the majority of them are really active because I've worked really hard over the last couple of years to try to really drive home the point of, like, if you, like, our precinct seats, we have several that are open. If you want to be involved, but maybe you know that you can't make, like, the majority of the meetings, like, please come, but maybe don't take your precinct seat because then I have trouble making quorum. you know? Mm-hmm. So some of the stuff is just that we've got people that are maybe seasonal, you know, they you know, leave for the winter or, you know, whatever.
We've been creating a, you know, we haven't quite done it, but we've been talking about creating like an emeritus, like to me that sounds too highfalutin, but like, you know, an honored elder category. So there, because there are people there are people who want, you know, to at the fundraiser to be fed, and they should be because they've done a lot of work. Yeah. But we need them out of there. Yeah. But they're holding on to it for
and they've been there for 20 years,
and they deserve to be
wonderful
treated with
people.
Respect,
they do.
But this is a transition that needs to be handled.
Well, you know, my mother
has
said
to happen,
something,
which is why I'm really upset about what the DNC did with this.
Ooh, way to bring it back.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, it's a thing, and so we've actually started a movement here in these rural communities, you know, to show respect. But you know, it's time for new blood, and the Democratic Party has to go through this transition, and they have to do it now. And if we don't take back the House and the Senate in 2018, then we have nobody to blame but ourselves.
Well, the Senate will be very difficult to
it's always difficult, but the fact of the matter is that these kind of committees need to be the focus and not the outliers.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I think a very strong committee structure is vital to Democratic wins. Genevieve, I have a really quick question. You mentioned earlier you have a congressional district Democratic Party.
Oh.
Yeah, we have a congressional district chairs in Missouri. So we have 8 congressional districts. No. So
we don't have that in Pennsylvania. We have that in a couple different states. But I'm curious if you think that having a you have a precinct structure, a county structure, a congressional district structure, and then a statewide structure.
Is we also have a state senatorial district
structure and
a legislative district structure.
Who's on those bodies? Like, for example, the Missouri 7th, what is it called, campaign committee congressional district committee?
The Democratic committee?
Like, how do you get on it? Do you have to be already on a county chair, or could you just be at large? I mean, on a county committee?
Yeah, at that level... You do not have to be. I don't think any of ours require that you, like, we don't have any prerequisite.
Because that's cool too. Because that gives a way to get more people involved, right? You don't create this kind of.
You have to be involved in the county structure,
right,
or nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I really don't know anyone that isn't involved in more than one level. Because honestly, especially in my neck of the woods, we're rural. We have to wear a lot of hats because there's only. So there are only so many Democrats that will like openly identify and show up at a meeting and go to, you know, whatever. So for us, I think more than having like a lot of people that are angry or disillusioned with the Democratic Party, we just have a lot of people that are still kind of living this fear-based existence of like, I don't want to be shunned at the PTA meeting, or I, you know, want to be able to go to church.
Genevieve,
I want my
real
kids
quick,
to be able to go
gotta,
to school and still have friends.
Yeah, I got
to
add, you haven't accepted my Facebook request.
I tried.
She's,
I went over there.
I mean,
she knows better than to multitask.
It's been like 10 minutes, and I'm starting to feel like...
Who's the millennial? Who's the millennial?
I'm starting to feel like, you know, this bond that we're trying to build.
I'm not seeing you in here, so...
Honestly, this is... I don't want to get weird on you, but it's getting weird.
Is your first name Surf?
Charles.
Like,
look for Charles.
Like
look
surf,
for Charles,
like...
Genevieve. Look for Charles.
Okay.
I want you to... because I do other work as an agitator, and there's some videos on my Facebook page you should check out.
Oh, yeah. Chip's been going around with a friend of ours... they've been making hybrid Confederate Nazi flags, like Confederate one side, Nazi on the other, and then burning them as a symbolic gesture
at NASCAR events.
It started with our local county fair that had a guy sell them. Anyway, we're gonna go because we're kind of
wrapping up here.
We want to get kind of speed round, so we'll have a. I don't know if that was Chip's question, like a quick question, quick answer. Was that your question?
I'm looking at my Facebook page
all
right now.
Okay, all right. Jordy's next.
All right, so when I moved here in 2002, and I think in that cycle in 2004, here Lewisburg, rural Pennsylvania, and Don Sherwood was running, and he was the Democratic and the Republican nominee. There wasn't even a Democrat on the ballot, and many times it would go uncontested. We've been interviewing some people in the Pennsylvania 18th, where they were telling us that for 2 cycles, it wasn't just the Republican won. There was no one even running. And when I looked at what you guys are doing
they're
in Missouri 7,
in August.
You've had contested primaries the last 2 cycles. So that seems like a difference.
That seems cool. Yeah.
That seems cool. And it was also contested on the Republican side. So is there something in the water, Missouri? You guys are, you know, like it's kind of bloody Kansas, bloody Missouri? You guys are sort of itching for a fight, or you've got a more active, you know, pipeline? Like, what's the difference? Like, why has Missouri got so many people willing to run?
The congressional seat is definitely, like, a different situation than a lot of our local races. Like, we have, it's really not uncommon for us to have a primary at the congressional level, because then we have, what, like, 780,000 people to draw from, and, you know.
Yeah, but we'll go whole cycles, 2, 4, 6 years, 2, 3 cycles, with not even a Democratic candidate. Wasn't Milosevic a write-in?
Yeah, our last congressional.
Thank you to me. Thank you to me.
In the Pennsylvania 10th. He was a write-in.
Genevieve, I was the first one in the history of the state of Pennsylvania to win a primary.
Okay, look,
with a
she'll that good. That's I didn't know that.
I didn't know
Thank
that.
Thank you
either.
To me.
That should be part of the intro, because that's important.
Yeah.
Thank you to
me. I will also say I was working on that as well. But Chip was sort of the campaign manager.
It's like when the Oscars go, it's like the executive producer and the co-producer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but I still think, you know, I'll shut up, but, like, you know, hats off, because you guys are doing something, because at least you have people running.
We actually are on track. I think we had 56 uncontested state legislative races, and I think we're on track to have, like, right now we've got, I think, 18 that we don't have candidates for.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. So you guys are...
That's improvement.
That's very good improvement.
Oh, yeah. We are burning the candle at both ends. Like,
okay.
It was recruitment situation.
Here's Taylor's speed question.
Okay, so yeah. So we're wrapping up really quickly, and I'm wondering if you could tell me, you know, in maybe, like, 30 seconds or less, you know, we're both from very rural, very Republican areas. You know, like, what can Democrats be doing differently in these red areas?
Jason Kander. Google Jason Kander.
Yeah, he's great. He's really great. Yeah.
That is what we need to be doing.
He ran for governor. He's Secretary of State, right? Ex-military.
U.S. Senate. But,
he ran for Senate.
Yeah,
so we need to get more progressives in the military.
Well, I mean,
well,
no, you know,
sure,
Genevieve, that's
probably
a great answer. Jason Kander's a hero.
Yeah.
With a C or
yeah.
A K.
So,
okay.
So do you think that there is any issues that we need to be hitting? Or, like, what do you think is the key?
What would be the perfect
progressive
platform in rural districts?
That's what it is. It's that we're not showing up. We're not having these conversations because we're afraid of those voters. So what we're signaling to them is that my message is not for you, and I'm not going to help you because I don't have the stones to show up at your front door and talk to you about, you know, criminal justice reform. I don't, you know, or, you know, issue, like, the thing that, one thing that really struck me with him is, obviously, like what you just said, he was a shining example, like, perfect candidate, but that doesn't have to be the case, in order, like, really what it was, he was taking the same message, and that these are his words, not mine, to Ferguson, Missouri, that he was taking to Neosho, Missouri.
Awesome.
And he was showing
cool.
up and talking about, the, you know, not talking about out of both sides of his of his mouth, trying to, you know, there. It's like this old joke I used to always say, like, that people would have, a lot of people would have, like, different campaign materials depending on where they were going in Missouri.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
This is for this part, and
right.
Don't take that down there.
Right.
You know, like, that's not a good...
Right.
That was not what was going on there. And I think that, again, like, if we don't show up and have those conversations, I think we're already, like I said, we're signaling to those voters that we're not advocating for them.
Hey, Genevieve, we really appreciate your time.
One last thing. What's next? Are you going to run for something else?
Oh, absolutely. I'm
good.
Not going anywhere.
Do you know what?
I have some ideas, but...
Ah.
Whoa,
that
right
is
now,
a seasoned really,
that's
politician.
That's a political.
Next, you're
going
to say,
yeah.
I need to talk to my family, weigh the options.
Yeah,
right.
I don't. Right now I'm really focusing on my position as vice chair, and also I'm very involved in women's democratic clubs, and I'm really right now recruiting a lot of women to run for office and kind of using that story to say, like, let's do it, because... women are not self-starters in the way that men are. You really have to do a lot of recruiting. And one thing that I say is that we don't really see ourselves as leaders because we don't see ourselves in our leaders, because we don't have a lot of that institutional history of female leaders. So, like, if you ask a lot of women in politics, like, who are your heroes, like, top three, two of them will be men, Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And that's okay. Well, like, we can look up to men. There's not, I mean, y'all aren't that bad. But
I think we should talk to our corporate sponsors about a road trip to Missouri to
absolutely
steal some wisdom from Genevieve. Do we have
corporate sponsors? We'd love to have you.
We don't have any corporate sponsors, but we'll we're drinking Bullet Bourbon.
Oh, yeah. If we say, if we name drop, maybe we'll get some sponsors.
Yeah, maybe Bullet Bourbon will sponsor a trip out to Missouri.
Hey, Genevieve, we know how hard it is to be a progressive in rural districts. We know the struggle. I really, truly appreciate
your
courage.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for running.
You are amazing. We are your biggest fans, and I hope we get to talk again someday. And thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks for coming on and talking with us barnstorming. We're actually going to have a 15th anniversary Paul Wellstone.
Oh, they should have our podcast.
No. 15th anniversary of Paul Wilson's Denver.
Bill, you rock, you Waterloo, Lackawanna, Fairview, Bellevue, Sweet Green, Susquehanna, Lewisburg, Stroudsburg, Elysburg, Horizon, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, Willowsburg, Robsony, Mountaintop, Glen Rock, Flat Rock, Sunbury, St. Mary, Shikshinny, Big Chinny, Amatandy, I've been everywhere, man.
Like a puppet, and he's moving your mouth, and it says, you have to be a party loyalist. You got to pay your dues. If you're not a party loyalist, then you're not a progressive.
I am a progressive.
You're not. You cannot both defend Marcel and be a progressive.
I'm not defending Marcel.
You are. You're defending Marcel's way of thinking. It's the same goddamn way of thinking that pushed Joe Sestak out over loyalty to Armin Spector.
I was one of the loudest voices around here. And getting fired.
It's an article.
Because it's a reality.
It's not a reality.
It is the reality. You won't win as an independent. We have
108. You're not hearing me. The party has to be open to those people. I didn't say run as independent.
The party is
it's
open,
not.
But you gotta
play. It's not.
Ronnie is not a
independents
registered
can't
Democrat.
Vote in primaries.
He's not a registered Democrat.
Every time
what
you
the
say
fuck
that,
do you want from me?
I want you to say it doesn't matter. That's what I want from you.
It does.
It matters because you decide.
It does
matter.
How does it matter?
It matters, man.
That's
you
not
can't
an answer.
Come, you cannot come
you're
to
saying,
me
that is
when
the
it's
same.
Convenient. You got to be through thick and thin.
He is. He caucuses with them.
He is not a Democrat, period. Why is this so hard?
No, I understand your perspective, I think. I do not believe you understand
it's
my
thick
perspective.
And thin.
Tell me my perspective. I can explain yours to you.
You think the Democratic Party should embrace Bernie Sanders because he has the same ideals that they do?
Correct. Why is that wrong?
He's not a registered Democrat.
Why the fuck does that matter, man?
I have to go home and watch The Walking Dead, so let's record our 3 minutes, and then we'll come back to this.
It's an important conversation.
It is an important conversation, I agree.
Okay, so the three things...
It does matter. It does matter. Political reality in this country says that you're a member of either party. If we can change that fundamental structure, fine, I'm in. But that's the structure.
Okay.
That's the game.
In many,
many,
many states...
We've all agreed upon the rules.
You don't have to be...
These are the rules!
In many states, you don't even have party registration. Why does
Minnesota?
Minnesota's that way?
The rules are this. We've all agreed on them.
No.
If you
want
to change the rules.
No,
they
were
imposed on us, but go ahead.
Then change
we
the
need,
rules.
We need independence.
I'm trying to. But
Green
you keep telling
Party
me it matters if you're a Democrat.
You got to play with the people that brought you.
These are, you sound like
you're
an old religious guy who's like just saying like, we have to believe in God because God exists. That is
reason,
a circular
I
idea.
Think the reason why you're supporting Chris Carney and not Rick Mirabito is because Chris Carney's going to play your game and Rick Mirabito's not.
I guess my point of view is that you got to get there before you can make change. If you're making like... You guys want the candidate to be changed first. I want to get there, and then we make Chris Carney become a progressive.
I was here
that's
helping Chris
bullshit.
Carney
that's
when you
bullshit.
Were off in Missouri or Texas or something. So I can play that game. So don't play the I put purity over pragmatism. I don't do that. I don't do that all the time. I try to make specific strategic choices about when ideals matter.
The pragmatic way to make change is to support Democratic
the
candidates.
No, no, no,
the
no.
pragmatic
you
way
build,
is to always compromise.
You build the new world in the shell of the old, man. If we're not so actually creating the structures that we want to live in as we're building the movement, then we're failing as a party.
Yeah.
Then quit the party.
I'm not going to quit
you
the party.
You just told us that we can't do anything if we're not in the party.
I could be wrong. I don't have to be right. No, guy, I don't have to be
right.
What do
you want me to go work
I'm
for
explaining,
the
I'm explaining my own point of view.
That's
you don't
good.
Have to adopt my point of view.
I agree.
But if you guys are so committed, then
right,
quit the fucking UCDC tomorrow. You two fucking ballless motherfuckers.
Jordy, you're doing the most
goddamn. You don't even show up!
You don't even show up at the goddamn meetings.
You're onboarding flags!
With the party.
Addicted to
if
your
you
rights!
So committed to
addicted
Bernie,
to this idea that you're the hero like, martyr, and we're the ones doing
the
hard work in the party to make it more accepting.
Quit the UCDC.
That is bullshit.
Quit the UCDC tomorrow.
I quit it before I joined for 12 years.
How about as an election strategy? Appealing to independent voters that are sick of the Democratic Party's corruption?
Yes.
Don't you think that these are votes?
Yes.
We agree on the same issues, but they don't want
well,
that fucking
here,
label.
It's a good strategy overall. Around here, not so much. But, I mean...
Why? Why?
Because there aren't that many of us.
Democrats or independents?
Either!
I have to go watch The Walking Dead with
okay.
my wife.
Okay.
We're going to toward our 3 points.
Okay, we haven't gone through our 3 points.
Oh, God, I'm drinking should another beer and smoking another cigarette.
No, I...
No, Chip.
I promise...
Can you just
do that after? Yes.
Well, then we're not going to do the, like, 3 minutes.
Okay. All right, so just 3 minutes really quickly. Do you mind if we just do it off of this and this can be part of Genevieve's interview?
Whatever.
I don't understand the question.
Why are you calling Aaron?
I'm not calling Aaron. My
or
sister
Anna
is calling me.
Oh.
So
I think we should start with the DNC
okay.
thing.
Yeah,
whatever.
This is we started talking about the 3 points that we would make.
I think we start with that because it's the more critical one, and then we do she. What was your second for?
Why are we?
One?
What are we doing? We're doing a follow up.
Yeah, we always do like three right. key things.
Yeah,
three
so
takes
so
away.
I think first is, I think some of us were upset by Genevieve's defense of the Democratic Party. I think we got to challenge it to be better.
Yeah.
And sort of defending Tom
yeah.
Press's corporate picks
yeah,
is
yeah.
not the way.
Okay,
I think
so.
I think,
that's the first.
So
thing.
That's the first one. The second one is. Wow, Genevieve is so
are you recording?
Qualified.
No,
yes.
No. Oh, you're recording?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Well, let's say more about the first. Okay, go ahead and say the second one.
Okay, the second one is that Genevieve is an incredible... I just
future
can't believe...
Of the party.
She's
future
the
party.
Future of the party.
Yep.
What a person that we have in our ranks.
Oh, the third one was congressional, the structural piece.
Oh, yeah. Which really should have been the second point. But that's all right.
All right, so we had a long 25-minute... passionate conversation, which I love, and I love that we can have those, and I appreciate Chip and Taylor about sort of classic issues about idealism versus pragmatism, and we'll do another podcast about that. But in a nutshell, yeah, we don't know all the details about what happened to the DNC. That was news for some of us, me, which I think is interesting because I'm so focused on like here and now. I wasn't like before I got super involved, I would have been reading all the Huffington Post, New York Times stuff about the DNC and been really mad about it. And here I am, I'm like going to UCDC meetings and other things. And
I didn't really read any articles about it either.
But one thing, I think Chip and I agree here, is she sounded like she was defending the status quo and what was going on at the DNC. And it didn't sound like progressive...
Let's deconstruct the argument. Mm-hmm. It was these are appointed positions and Tom
right.
Perez has the authority to make whatever appointees he wants.
Sure.
And that was sort of the defense. And I think, you know, I had read all of these articles and I was kind of like, you know, a little bit like, well, maybe, you know, this is not the case, or, you know, maybe that this is, you know, just a media narrative that's just trying to get us all riled up, which I'm not totally sold that it's not, but it just kind of sounded like from, we did a little research and it seems like there have been a number of key replacements that are now a bit more corporate than they used to be.
The progressives are trying to take over the party, and they should, and the structure is pushing back. And it's disconcerting to me that at this time in our country's history, we have an opportunity. We are seeing open hatred, racism, violence. This is our time to take a position, and the Democratic Party...
You lost me on the violence racism thing. Those have been
going
on all the time.
We have a time right now to push compassion and
uh-huh.
education
yeah.
and tolerance and
right.
diversity.
Right.
And the Democratic National Committee pushed out Progressive Voices a couple of days ago. And that's concerning to me.
I just want to help you clarify that violence and racism are not
It's
new.
Okay, Jordy. I have to explain things to you twice often.
Hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's... Jordy's right. Violence and racism are not new.
Well, I didn't think he was saying
that. But
if I'm going to get a final comment, I'm going to say this. This is war. There aren't bullets. There aren't rifles. There aren't bombs. But this is war. And they're trying to push us down
mm-hmm.
and put us into a cage. And unless we recognize...
Who's
that? The, you know, that's a great question. The they question, you know, the establishment. But they're defunding the Department of Education. They're defunding all of these initiatives for civil rights, for Americans, for access, on purpose.
Uh-huh.
This is war.
Right. Against the Republicans.
Well, I mean, I wish it wasn't just...
I don't think it's that clear.
I don't wish it was, you know, but we have to stand up. We have to be courageous. We have to fight back like Genevieve did.
So, so progressives need to be united so that we can fight the war against the Republicans.
United is a good thing. Educated, informed, and active.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. I was just trying to...
I like that. Educated, informed, and active.
Educated, informed, and active. I don't care that we work together. I care that we all know what we're doing. I care that we all know about the world around us. All
right. So, second point.
Second point. Genevieve is... Wow. She is fantastic. She's the future of the party. Inspiring. A millennial voice in Congress.
Something for you to aspire to in your next 4 or 5 years.
Oh, man. I want to clarify something.
Taylor's
going
to be running for office someday. You know that, right? You're in trouble, Jordy. Because I can say no to him, but you're going to have to run his campaign.
I could say no to him very easily.
All right. But would you?
Yes.
I'm just kidding. But anyway, it was very inspiring to see Genevieve so actively involved in state national politics.
You know what we didn't get?
A compassionate and intelligent voice in Southwest Missouri.
And I liked how she said,
yeah.
One of the things I loved is, you know, she talked about, you know, this kind of strategy of like, well, we're in a Republican district. We better run Republican light. You know, that doesn't work. I mean, maybe you win some elections, but it's a strategy for the whole party, the whole movement. It just keeps, you know, letting us lurch further and further to the right. And it doesn't provide, you know, a point of difference. Okay.
Next week on our podcast, we're going to have...
I think the next podcast is even this week.
Oh, the Paul Wellstone.
Paul Wellstone. Wait. What was the third?
You know,
point?
Honestly,
the structural piece.
The structural
piece. Stilp should be a part of the Paul Wellstone because he's the.
Yeah, I didn't
guy.
Know that, but yeah.
It's true okay, story. We'll try and book him. Try and book him.
Gene got the Paul Wellstone glasses.
Okay.
The third part.
Burn a Confederate flag. Burn a Confederate flag.
Okay, the third part of the after the debrief, so to speak, is I think that we need, you know, the highest up it goes, or I mean, we have. County structures and state structures and the national structures. I think, like other states, Pennsylvania needs to move to having a
congressional district structure.
We need a state rep structure, and we need a state senate structure.
Problem with that is Pennsylvania is so corrupt. Mm. There are 180-something state rep districts. There are so many state offices. Anyway,
right.
we
need
to fix
it.
That.
I mean, we
but
need
Taylor's
it
right.
regardless.
Taylor's right.
And this was something that I feel like I've been saying for a while since I moved back from Minnesota, where they have a really wonderful Democratic committee structure at every level of political office. I hearing Genevieve talk about it just reminded me that that's something that we need to work forward for. And I don't know if that's a national or a statewide Pennsylvania thing or a, you know, we
Pennsylvania
can just,
thing.
It's a, well, I don't
go
know if
state
like,
to state.
If we can just like have, like start a 10th district Democratic.
We can do on our own, but this, we can count on the state committee not helping us because it's run by a sexist.
And you don't have to be a sexist to not have a good idea.
Thanks, guys. We're signing off.
Chip has. Do you want to say your thing?
Oh yeah. Do you want to talk about your next agitation?
You know, quickly. Yeah, we're going down to Martinsville, Virginia, on Sunday to burn the Confederate Nazi flag combination. To be honest with you, I'm really proud of NASCAR and the law enforcement officials. They've done a great job. And I really appreciate them. And I'm not sure about the efficacy of the action, but we're going to do it. And
great. So we'll be on Wednesday, and we'll be talking about...
We'll be talking.
Okay, we'll be talking on Wednesday. I don't know when we'll publish it, but it'll be on the 15th anniversary of Paul Wellstone's tragic passing. U.S. Senator from Minnesota, professor at Carleton College.
An American hero.
Northfield, Minnesota resident. You have two. And a short Jewish wrestler.
I mean, this guy had everything stacked against him.
He won seven. He was outspent 7-1 in his first congressional Senate race in 1990.
Okay,
and
all right, all right. That's coming on Wednesday.
And we're coming on Wednesday. Check back in at barnstormingpa.org or our Facebook page, barnstormingpa. See you there. Share, man.